as we have prayed about hanging out with you guys and sharing and seeing what the Lord wanted us to share, you know, so many people, frankly, see us through the prism of April 16th. I mean, it's not who we are. It's not where I'm going. It's somewhere we've been through. And so often people, you know, when we've spoken at places, been places, we're like, you want to come, will you come share? And I go, do I get to share the word or do you want to hear the story? And you're like, oh, we want to hear the story. Because we spend a lot of time with the Lord. We spend a lot of time in the Lord's word. And his word is real to us. It is to me, to my wife. And so as we were considering coming up here, since we've spoken in April, you know, it's not on my heart to speak about this stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll be glad to answer questions afterwards, do anything anybody wants, to talk with you, anything. We are always open to that. Many years ago, the Lord began to undo how I spoke and shared his word. So often for those who are ever standing here doing these kind of things, my wife will attest to how deadly the house seemed for weeks in advance when you get ready to speak. I got no other word for it than that. As you're locking yourself in offices, extracting truth from the Word of God to clobber the people of God with, and Greekize them, Hebrewize them, and immerse them in death, frankly, so often. And people leave, and oh, you know, such and such. Big deal. Does it help your life? And so when the Lord called my wife and I out of the gathering we were with, Rach was in eighth grade, and prophetically the Lord, knowing how important those years would be, just sent us home for a season. And for those who walk in those paths that ever, you know, that's a lonely period of time at times. But the Lord was redeeming time in our lives, undoing things in me, which including undoing in me the way I considered his word. So often I approach the word of God and a story we'll read this morning, and I thought God would, you know, you read the Gospels and you're like, yeah, he was with that person, but this is what he was doing. He's like, I've taken the word of God and made a living encounter with human beings into an object lesson 2,000 years later. And that's not what occurred. The living God in the form of Jesus Christ stood before a human being, and a life is altered. And he didn't do it so he could get to Allen Hill 2,000 years later, even though that would be a byproduct. He stood in front of people, and they ran into God and what God was like and what God thought. And it changed them. And so it began to change the way I approached the Word of God. And so part of my journey and study is, yeah, I got 5,500 studies going on, probably like many of you, but I have this one, and I spend a year in each chapter of John to slow down, not try to get a message out of it, to give you, but to just live there. And throughout the year, I don't do it every day, but throughout the year I'll spend much time there and just ponder and say, Lord, oftentimes I find myself, Lord, hide from me needless information and show me, Lord Jesus, you were there. What were you doing with this person? I want to know. My life depends on it. And out of that, so much blossoms. And so, I know you guys are, you know, Daniel and I were chatting, and he said, yeah, we're on hope. I said, well, I got to see what God tells me. We know that. He's told me that. He's, I mean, when we separated out for a period of time away from folks just to be alone with the Lord, one of the things he undid was, if you will separate the vile from the holy, you'll be my spokesman. So he told Jeremiah. And I don't get the luxury. It's not a luxury. In the flesh, it's a luxury. I don't get the luxury in the flesh to say what I feel like saying. Not anymore. And so if I don't tell you what's real to me, what am I giving you other than some information? Maybe some doctrine. Something you go home and chew on. And the best I feel I can do anyway, as a minister of the word, ambassador of Jesus, is to create, if something's real in me that comes out that is him, to create a hunger in you to go get your own, because you can't have mine. I wish you could, but you can't. You have to know him yourself. Right? I can't live vicariously through your experience, even though we try often. It doesn't seem to last long. But you have to get your own. And so The Lord no longer, I can't do outlines. It's like if I do, they just, I crumble them up anyway. So hopefully it's more conversational in a sense. And as I tell you pieces of what I've gleaned from John, and then refer them to some other places, just even as we were praying, the Lord kind of led me into a spot. And so somewhere in here, I'm just going to pause probably and just, you know, just to be, you know, it won't be 10 minutes. Tell Tammy to tell you, I can't say hi in 10 minutes. So, but hopefully not too long, and see what the Lord's doing and what that is to you. So let's just look at a familiar story to many of us. Spent about a year here, but John chapter 8. We'll start in verse 1. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say to him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that we should stone her. She should be stoned. But what say you?" This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down, and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are your accusers? Has no man condemned you?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." It's an amazing story. There's so much in this thing. We'll just scratch the surface in a few minutes we have. So many things come to mind if you ponder the law, if you ponder the period of time, you ponder so many things. My wife and I always have these discussions anytime a woman in the scriptures involved. We're always like, "Where's the dude?" The law didn't say one. So this is a setup from the word go. So Jesus is gathered this morning after being with them the day before, gathered back that morning, and they're in the temple, and they're seated. It's early morning, it appears, is about what they say. So they're hanging out and listening to him. What does he tell them? I don't know. Some other passage in Matthew may wear all the red letters on. But he's talking to the people and they're listening. There's activity of the priesthood going on here. There are these things happening. But these folks are gathered in this spot. Maybe the treasury, because later he says, this is over in the treasury. So they're seated. But somewhere in the distance, this faint ruckus, something, some turmoil is coming their way. Moving in their direction, the people are seated. And it gets louder. I don't know how many of the guys brought her in the midst. And maybe they were seated all around something like this. There's pictures in the temple. You can draw your pictures if you want. And they get to him, and finally, they get up to him. And I don't know what the picture is. You can't take license, but it says standing in the midst other times. How does someone that's being shamed publicly stand? I see this woman, guilty, just laying right here on this floor. People seated being taught. A ring of self-righteous standing around her. Repeating what the scriptures say. And Jesus standing there. God, the just, standing there.
and they, the wise of the dead, knowing the law and the prophets, extract out a convenient peace for themselves and bring it to Jesus' attention as though the Word Himself doesn't know this. The one who is what they quote is in front of them. They know it not. But He is who He is. What will you do? There's such a one before you. And Jesus, manuscripts disagree on some of this stuff, folks. But for what we have in front of us, just say if you did bow down, stoop down and write in the ground. Everybody has a thought on these things. What did he write? Some people say he wrote there, adulterer friend. I've just stuck with the scriptures and watched how many times the word finger of God is in the scriptures. And there's one thing that came to mind. In the days of Nebuchadnezzar and those who followed his son, a finger wrote on the wall, "Mene, mene, tekel, upsuhari." I know the priests knew this. The Pharisees knew this. You have been weighed in the scales and found wanting. There's nothing hidden from him. Jesus did not love the Pharisees. He loved those men. And he met them where they were. I don't know what he wrote, but as I considered the word of God, these are the things. When God's finger writes, things are going on. Moses received the commandments, originally written of God. Moses didn't have a pen and paper. God wrote those things. And then I think you find Moses etching stuff out. And if Moses didn't, is he etched in stone? Did he not think, how hard is the heart of man? And so Jesus stands there, stoops down, and then comes forth with, as he always does, wisdom. And he says, "He who has no sin or is without sin, let him cast the first stone." Now, even among the self-righteous, elderly folks who have considered their ways sometimes come to some smarts. And therefore it says they headed out, they dropped their stones, and walked out from the oldest to the youngest. So much pride in youth. I'm not condemning anyone else, I'll say it for myself. So much knowledge. So much righteousness is not the righteousness of God. But the old, they know their mortality. They know their sin. And they begin to drop their rocks and walk away. And whether the young had wisdom or not, they may have just followed their elders out as smart copies. But they left. When we were in there praying, the Lord liked to stop me right there and here. I'm going to stop for a second. I felt like he was saying, if any of us are carrying any rocks, today's a good day to drop them. And then he said the word forgiveness. So there's something here today about forgiveness. Now, I'll interject a piece from my wife and I's life. And we'll tell you, if there's anything God has shown us about you being free, even when you're in the right, it is forgiveness. If we hold on to our rocks, it will be to our detriment. You will not be free. And a verse that I know very well all of a sudden came to mind from a different, from a whole different perspective. While we were standing back there, let us lay aside every weight and encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with the endurance, the race of faith. If you and I are carrying a weight vest of rocks, you are not going to be able to run this race with endurance. Amen. I just got a revelation in the back room. No, we're praying. This is not part of my talk. I'm just telling you. And it's like, this is to your freedom. So what we don't realize is when we're carrying on forgiveness, we are in sin. We have now entered sin. I don't care what's been done to me. If my wife and I cling to unforgiveness about somebody murdering our kid, I'm in sin. And I get it. That preaches real, real well. But when you're at home, it doesn't preach so well when the Lord's going, you have this. Let's get free of it. Let's be free. It's free. You can't run and do things when you can't. And what we don't realize is those weights, you showed me this weight of sin, it defiles you. It's not just a weight, it's a defilement. And so if any of us today are carrying, I mean, folks, you're on a college campus. Everybody wants justice. I don't want justice. Justice will kill me. I want mercy. The problem with our screams of justice, they're never attached to forgiveness and mercy, and so it never ends. It stays a constant scream of unforgiveness and rights and victim, and it's not God. And you smell it. You can smell it if you did. But we whip ourselves into frenzies, and it's not God. And I don't care what label you put on this stuff. The moment forgiveness comes in, there's a new beginning. You're not, you did that to me. As long as you're there, you're trapped. Even if you have honest reason to claim something's happened to you. The freedom is not claiming what's happened. The freedom is finding out what's been done for you so that you can be set free. The Pharisees didn't know this. They didn't understand it. They wondered what was right. What was right would have smitten them if there's no mercy. And so they leave. And now we have the teachable, I guess, still sitting there, this woman and Jesus. And he asked her, where are they? Where are your accusers? Accusation is always attached to judgment. And those who condemn you. Do you see them? And she said, none, Lord. And he said, no, no. This is God. Adultery has occurred. No one in the room is innocent except the guy getting ready to talk. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Hear this. Let's stand out in the back. Someone in here needs this. Neither do I condemn you. The Lord of glory is telling us, neither do I condemn you. How can it be? He is declaring that at that point in time, in prophetic knowledge, I'll bear the adultery. I will be well acquainted with your transgression and the transgression and the stripe that would do my part, according to Isaiah 53. I will take it. Neither do I condemn you. There, in the quote Romans 8:1, even though we'll go there in a little bit. There is therefore no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. Hear that again. There is therefore now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. So let's stop now. We can't go further into anything that follows if we don't receive our salvation, our restoration and forgiveness from all condemnation. There's no way to walk if you don't. You'll be living and performing under a load that doesn't exist. How many of us are doing? The Pharisees were. And if we're going to walk in a path of legalism, you're cooked. The moment you fail, you're under the cloud again. So if you don't know this Jesus, it's no longer he's prophetically saying what he's going to do. He has actually done it. And he invites you to receive his salvation and the pardon of no condemnation. Condemnation may come, but it didn't come from God anymore. The conviction of the Holy Spirit, it always draws you to God. It doesn't send you away from God. It wants restoration, healing, and help. Not, get out of my presence. Stone. No, that is not God. And so we can't go any further if we don't receive our relief from condemnation. Condemnation is a wicked spirit. And many, many of God's people are under it. Let's pray right now. The Holy Spirit minister that relief to you right now. Someone in here is in need of this. I don't care. We've got an adulterous woman. Doesn't matter what your sin is. It doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter, you know, fight on the way in the door. It doesn't matter what it is. There's no condemnation. How can that be? Oh, what a salvation that we have. Jesus then said something. I didn't read the verse, and I didn't read it intentionally. You ever read passages that just, when you read them, you go, I was really good until that point. I got a lot of those. I'm still working through, but there's two times in the gospel Jesus said something, and I was like, you were really good right until then. And it's like, you just threw a trick statement out. It's a trick. Now, no, it's not, but I'm working through with it as I'm pondering this for a year. In a sense. And I knew it then, but years ago I didn't know this. And it bothered me. I don't know what to do with that one. So if you read verse 12, he said, then Jesus said to her, no, let me go back, sorry. Then go and sin no more. I'm like, I was really good, there's no condemnation. But then you laid on her, go and do. I'm like, she can't, she's under law. How is she going to perform this go and sin no more? I mean, there's the quirk, isn't it? Woo, love no condemnation. But Jesus didn't say, I don't see anything. No condemnation, I just don't see anything. He's like, no, he's totally cognizant of what's in front of him. He is with you and I. We live in the day that we go the other way. It's love. In the moment Jesus says, and you're my disciple, I want to work through some things with you. No, that's judgment. So we go to the other swing. Don't judge me. And it's like, no. I'm interested in some character in your life. My character. Not the one manifesting in your life right now. My character. So we're totally uncondemned, and yet we find ourselves what in this thing that Paul calls walking in the flesh, these other things that we really hate. And until we get revelation, we don't know what to do with them. So most of us go into performance mode again. That thing's not going to keep me down. That's a new day, baby. I'm gonna whip that today. And that, you know, really good. Kind of like the rich young ruler. He really thought he had done it. He hadn't done any of that stuff. He just deceived himself. And so Jesus threw him a hurdle that was impossible. He said, all right, go sell that stuff. And he's like, I'm undone. Well, you know, we're all undone. And he's like, I don't want you to try to perform this anymore. See, this is where we find ourselves when we're not in a room with everybody that agrees with us. And we're all going, yeah, Jesus. And then we walk back to wherever we're going. We're like, this place ain't right. Why is there pulling me for things, weights and stones again, that doesn't belong to me? This is the Christian life. Paul's the first honest guy to talk about, the apostle of apostles, and he wrote this thing called Romans about it. Like, hey, what is going on in me? It wasn't an inexperienced man. It is Paul. save Paul talking this way. And he goes, I don't like what I do, the things I do like, I don't do. I'm like, man, you got schizophrenic here. What's going on? And he finally comes to this revelation and says, so I agree with God about stuff, but I find myself doing it still. It's no longer me. That's seven. So much of us are trying to make ourselves into what God has actually moved us from. And there is the battle, but there is the problem of answering, go and sin no more. So let's look at Romans 8, 1. Let me just read a couple of verses. There is therefore now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, depending on what Bible you got in front of you, there's the next part of that verse is missing, removed. Mine is there. But just so you know, because some of you probably have versions not. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Next verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free or made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through God, through the flesh, and God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh have the mind of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal and the enmity are against God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Stop there. So we have this position. Now, again, people like putting people under laws and performance. See, if I just tell you there's no condemnation, people that want to control people lose control of people. Because it doesn't matter what they do anymore, they don't respond to me. Religion is wicked. Religion is wicked. Whereas you go, yeah, but that's going to lead to licentiousness. So what you're telling me is if I just put a bunch of band-aids on a body, that somehow that's going to heal me, in a sense. And that's what we're trying. People are like that. They're like, I don't care what it is. It can be addiction. It doesn't matter if it's addiction. It can be this. And so we go, I'm going to try with your heart. I haven't done this in 8 weeks. Inside, the guy's dying. He's doing it all the time. The machine is revving. He just said it hadn't broken out. But nothing's changed. Usually we just swap things. Something looks a little cleaner at times. Jesus is saying, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation for you. And Paul's saying, there's no condemnation. He said, but here's the key to this. Now go and sin no more. You are in Christ Jesus. Colossians says, you have been moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, or the kingdom of the beloved Son. Now, Jesus says it this way, and this is what happened. I don't know if the woman left. You know, it's like the guy at the pool. He runs him down again, and he goes, no, go and sin no more, unless something else happened to you, and it's worse. I'm like, well, it's worse than that. Okay, he turned, lost no eternal life. I get it. But he throws that on him. I was like, Lord, you didn't give the answer. I said, well, it's like the Lord said, Al, you might want to read one more verse. So whether the woman's there or not, I don't know. Maybe is she like the lepers? Like the guys went, and only one come back. I don't know. It doesn't say. I'm hoping she either heard it or she didn't go. That she stayed even though he said go. Because he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Now that's not a commandment. That's a promise.
That's good. Yeah.
This changes everything. And shall have the light of life. Romans 8, 2. Those who are in Christ Jesus, who are what? But the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. You are no longer in a position of trying to make a dead man look alive. And this is where so much Christianity is. In There's your legalism and your performance mentality. Let me tell you what. Real grace gets a hold of you. You don't want to leave. He's saying about it. The love of God is the only thing that will change you. And it changes you to do what? I just love you. I just want to hang out with you. And I say, now, make sure you do these things. No, you just... Solomon says, though a man give his house and everything for love, it'd be totally disregarded. Love is the only thing that will do crazy stuff. I can whip you into some legalism for a period of time, but you'll probably just quit hanging around me. You long for life. People are longing for life. And we who know the Lord, that's what we have for people. If not, what do I have for you? You can't cash my knowledge and my information. Show me. Paul said, I came to you not with a bunch of words and mighty words, but I came to show you a demonstration of power. And that's not all just miracles and stuff. I showed you a life. That's a life laid down. That dude laid his life down. And ain't no man doing that unless he's in love. That's what we're faced with right here. He says, I have moved you. What I want you to see is God, that's why there's no condemnation. Your Father, His Son, nor the Holy Spirit will relate to you and who you are ever again. So when you hear condemnation and stuff, it's attacking something that don't even exist. Because that guy's dead. Well, I don't feel dead. I don't care. I mean, folks, I'm just telling you, I've sat in conferences in my 20s trying to make myself dead. I'd hear it and, oh, God, how am I? I mean, you're like beating yourself into something that's not dead. Jesus, finally, the Lord said, Al, you already been dead. Quit trying to make yourself something that already happened to you. I want you to live. You're in me now. You really are. I hope this is registered with someone. You really are in Jesus Christ. So in one sense, even though we say stuff, it's really, I just need to grow in my appreciation of what is. Because he ain't doing anything else. He ain't coming down to heal me. He ain't coming down. When he said it's finished, he meant finished. He didn't, there was no except. There's no but. It is finished. We just don't know it's finished. And we don't know what that has released us into as sons of God. Because this is where we're going. It ain't about gifts. It ain't about this. Let me tell you what. Can you imagine? Let's just go here. This ain't sacrilege. This is true. God the Father loves you as much as Jesus. If you don't know that, I pray you do know that. And when I forget it, I pray I remember. You're not a second-class citizen in this thing, folks. You ain't been put in the middle. You're not God, but you've been put in the fellowship of the Trinity. It is where you live. And then so Paul doesn't say, now don't do this, this, and this, and you will be acceptable to God. No, he says so. Jesus said what? Follow me, and you won't do that. It doesn't say, now if you don't do this and this, that will show your mind.
Right.
See, that's the performance side of this thing. But it's not. How about John? Try this off. John 10, John 15, it's in different places. I mean, we've all lived under this stuff. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments, right? Now, somebody would say, yeah, but, and I'll tell you that one. I'll say, no. How many of you hear a commandment? I hear a promise. If you love, you will.
That's good.
See how different that is? But we'll go, if I go do these things, if I show up on Wednesday night, if I go out and do some outreach, it proves I love God. And Jesus said, well, there are a bunch of people who healed a bunch of people and cast out demons, and all that damn will say, I didn't even know you. See, love will produce works. Works don't necessarily produce love.
Come on. That's good. That's
good. Obligation, Katie. Jesus takes this woman who has nothing to offer and sets her free and offers this. I'm the light of the world. Oh, here we go. We have an answer. We have light. What does light do? Light caused darkness to flee. Light overcomes darkness. Everything that God's word says about light. It's always counter to darkness. Just swallows it up, overcomes it. This has no place. Now there's a He talks about walking. So when I did my study in this area, this really became important to me because when you see that, when you do that, for those who love the performance side of this, that missing part of some verse in Romans 8:1 for some people that says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now we're talking about not a location. We're talking about a travel plan. Who walk. And I went, oh, here we go. And I did that. So yeah, I did my Greek eyes and my Hebrew eyes. I did my stuff on that one word, walk. Now pay attention to this, because this is where Jesus deals with us as disciples. If you look at walk, and you let that word, you know, anybody that does this stuff, I'm just a nerd about this stuff, so I get it. You can lock me in a cult in a drum place for a week and just leave me, and I'd be happy. Just give me a concordance in the Bible. I'll be, yeah, I'll see you next week. You know, but that's no good, because you need fellowship. So you look at this word walk, and we go, who walk not. And we do this. So when you condemn people, I've done it so much, I bought the company. All right, one of those. Let's be honest. We've done this stuff. And when we realize it, we repent because of what we've done to people with it. And we say, okay, somebody stumbles and falls, and we go, you're walking in darkness. Right? That's what that looks like when somebody that's in the Pharisaical position does that. Jesus, not what Jesus is doing. But if you look at walk, it has a connotation of a path. You don't make no path in one trip. You may beat some bushes down of overgrowth, but you're not making a path. Now, I grew up in a family where my side yard growing up was the football field. And we play in the yard. So from November, September to March, the yard was trouble. And right in the middle of the yard was a dirt path. This is where we spent all our time with the ball. We didn't do that in one game. We visited it, we visited it, we visited it, and we visited it. In other words, you are perfecting something if you're walking in sin. Through repetition, it's a way. Isn't that very different than somebody stumbling? You really don't want to stumble in sin. You know the difference when you run into it. And Jesus said, there's no condemnation. But he's telling you about this walk. Who walk not after the flesh, but they beat a path in the Spirit. How do you do that? You're in Christ Jesus. Quit trying not to do and start enjoying what you get to do. Let that stuff go. If it's important to God, he's going to bring it up. And the devil's bringing up stuff that isn't important to God. We go, oh yeah, it's all about. And then we're in another battle. Got to beat that away before I can get to where I'm supposed to be again. I mean, it's done. Haven't you done it? I know you have. And probably still doing it. I am in different areas. And so the Lord will visit that in his time. But he's not mad at us. He just wants us to walk and grow. And so you're not walking that way, but you're after the Spirit. Well, I don't feel like I'm after the Spirit. I'm sorry. Somewhere in this, we do need the Holy Spirit to help us to shut this rat trap from pronouncing anything that is not the Word of God. I mean, we're all guilty. Listen, I bet I'd start hanging around people that I totally don't like hanging around at times. But they know Jesus in a way and I don't. I'm like, I'm going to lack fullness if I don't start doing it. I mean, I've listened to guys that have been dead and gone 25 years who were accused of being prosperity. You know, they wanted jets, planes, and homes. And I go, no, they didn't. They want you to find what God thinks about a matter. And then when he finally tells you, don't you say anything else but that. That ain't prosperity of God, but that's the will and mind of God. And you just keep declaring it. Why? Because it's like a man threw a seed in the ground. And it's going to grow something. What am I casting every day out of this mouth? And it's just, this becomes real and practical. It's not a lottery ticket mentality. My family's on a skid. What does God think about this? Let's go ask him and find out. And when he tells you something to do, there'll be grace to do it. He's not telling you not to. There is a life in you that loves everything the Father wants. See, you've been trained in religion. No, I'm really not that old. No, stop that. In you is Jesus. Not a token that says, I know Jesus. Jesus is in you. And if you're not, then it says, then you are none of his. Then we got to get you saved. Today's the day of salvation. That's easy. Now you're in. Now Jesus is in you. I want you, Lord. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. That's how fast this is. But you have the Holy Spirit in you. Who, it does, says, is that token? He is that portion who The more I go on, the less I understand the Trinity, I must tell you. I don't know how you work. I'm sitting there going, I don't even know how you're working, Lord, but I love it. I love you. And I know it's working. The Spirit's giving me. It's like, it's the most unselfish thing. And it goes on. Something will break out. And you go, oh. And the Holy Spirit's like, no, it was Jesus. And then Jesus goes, no, it's the Father. And everything's going back. And nobody wants credit for something good.
Yeah.
It's amazing. This is what we are born again into. And this is the new man. Now, how do you know? How many people you ever heard teach the last verses really around Romans 4 and 5? There's just one verse. I finally heard it one day. I'm like, oh, first time I ever heard it said it. Because we all like, well, Jesus paid for me, therefore I'm justified. No, you're not. It says, who was crucified and paid for my sins and was raised for my justification. It's the resurrection, folks. If there's no resurrection, there is no justification. Because then we don't know if the sacrifice is good enough. It's kind of hanging out there somewhere. But when Father, Romans, you want a fun time, you go read Romans 1:4. I've used this verse for 56 years. Father declared Jesus, the Son of God, with power through the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection. Now, where are you? In Christ Jesus. Are you dead or alive? You're alive. That is who you are. And if you're not, then you're not of His. That's the Word of God. This is mad. This changes everything. You won't look at don't do and do the same way ever again. If the Lord will just make you hungry to talk to Him about it until He makes that yours. It already is. You just don't know it.
That's right.
That's all it is. You may not know it. But the Father will not look at you any other way. It isn't like, okay, I love my son. I can look at you. I tell my wife that story sometimes of that stuff. Like, he can tolerate looking at me because we had songs like that. When he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus. As though like now I've taken on, you know, some other physical look. But what we've actually gone in is self-hatred instead of acceptance in the Beloved. Acceptance, no condemnation. Acceptance, acceptance, acceptance. You walk out of here in a minute and stumble, accepted in the Beloved. Do you need to get things clean? Absolutely.
Come on.
Call it what it is. No condemnation. I repent. Let's go back. Step right back in where you are. Walk in Christ Jesus. Man, we only get in trouble for one reason. We're like, oh, I think I want to walk over here a minute. And you're like, well, I don't know. Why am I getting wet? I don't like it. It's rainy over here. Come back in Christ Jesus. It's where you are. It's your sweet spot. And then you get to do all the things you're probably asking God. Oh, God, I want to speak in tongues. Oh, God, I want to do this. Oh, God, I'm just start doing it. How? The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. By the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, He dwells in you. Now, what I need the gift. I need the impartation. By the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, He dwells in you.
Wow, come on.
Ye are the old things have passed.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, what part of old hasn't passed? Old things have passed. New things have come.
Wow.
We've got to quit relating to ourselves and to each other and to the world. Because listen, when we start doing that, we actually have something good to tell people. Finally have good news. I waited decades like, oh, I really do have good news. I grew up in a different group. So, listen, this stuff is much later in my life. I was in a home church, non-denominational, everything else. I said, you know what? I'm going to go back and do a church history study and find out who is impacted, why I think what I think. And this is an interesting revelation. You should do it about sometimes, too. It will be rewarding and painful for any of us. And I went back and said, holy crap! I'm one of the brethren. And it proves it. Wow. Very strong in the word and teaching. So you grow up in a group, and guess what the only thing that's allowed to function is? So what is the goal of people? Stand right here. And this is wicked. You shouldn't want to do this because you got a greater judgment to do this kind of stuff. So it is a serious matter. But God's house has so many opportunities for it. And we always end up with folks that probably shouldn't be standing and folks that do, you know. again, I grew up with a lot of folks, a lot of things are like, oh my gosh, I did come from a denomination. It's like, all right, I love you, let's keep moving. That's why in the last few decades you've been hanging around the Wild Pentecostal, so that you can kind of go over here now. And it's good, but we had a real appreciation for the body of Christ and knew what it was to find God together. All right, you lay down your thought, I'll lay down mine, we'll find the mind of God. And you do, and you're like, whoo! But guess what? If you're the power people, you're going to zap, 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 zap. You know, we're on power, and it's like, and so why? We get a bad name for that. Why? Because a lot of times there's no character. There's action and no character. And with Christ, you get both. You get to do, and he will do what? Conform you to the image of his Son. So that what is going on in my life starts looking like Christ. Not because I'm anal about it, trying. He'll make it right in his time. Just walk. Just walk with your Savior. And he wants to do these things. And so this is what we have. We have this new man that is just, it's everything. Because you are now alive. I mean, you start telling each other, brother, I don't care what's going on, you're alive. And then it gives you something to actually say, well, why is it happening? Because it's a lie. And that means I'm buying into a lie. Now we can call it what it is. Light shines, tells what's a lie, what it is. It doesn't go, oh. Says, no, call it that, repent of it, move it. Now let's get free of it, because the freedom is in the new man. The resurrection life left that in the grave. And that's your authority. Now we're in authority. It's your authority. Not delegated, well, I kind of work in this hierarchy. No, you don't. You're an ambassador of the kingdom of God, sealed with the Spirit of promise to do the works of your Father. Go to work with Dad. Go to work with your dad. Wherever you live, ask your father, Father, what are you doing? This came out, I tell you, Daniel will tell you, for a decade I've done that. Leave the house, go out to business. Dad, what are you doing today? And can I come along? And it's like, some days he's like, yep, and I'm putting you in the game today. Other days you just go through your work and do your things. It's okay. And this is the timing of God, something else that we as believers don't like. And like Joe said, you asked me in 2007, will you be in Blacksburg? And I said, no. There's no freaking way I'm going to be in Blacksburg. There's no way that's going to go on. Yet here we are. Why? Prayer. And if you had said, well, the things you pray, God's going to take 10 years to do, I'm like, oh, no. But there's things that God's doing quick. There's things that God's doing intermediate. There's things God's doing in 10 years. There's things... You know, hey, if you guys hang around the prophetic, you know, one of my things with all the folks in the prophetic side is we all just hang together. You need to hang around people who aren't in it, because if every time you come together and speak stuff over each other, when does anything ever time to happen? The new one this week. I'm like, what is this? You better make a notebook. Right? But guess what? There's folks out there who need you. And they need that in their life because they have no hope. And God gives you something to see, something that really is, it's really seeing something about someone who's in Christ, and you're seeing Christ. And they don't know it, probably. And you say something to them, and they're like, oh my gosh, that's who I am? Jesus, that's what his plan is for me? And you curd somebody's heart like that. It's not just hang around our group that we love. It's hang around people who don't have any knowledge of this and walk and grow in that ourselves. And so this is where this is. This new man in Christ is everything to us. It is Jesus in you. I hope something's sitting in you, in your spirit. I think not in you here. And he will form this into thought and form this into things that really are practical. This is practical. So when you go home and you're like, we just fight like cats and dogs. It's just who I am. No, it's not. No, it's not. It may be what you're manifesting, but it is not who you are. Come on. Now, if you can get your spouse to tell you that, that's good stuff. That's not who you are. You know? Oh, really? My wife and I kid around, because when we are manifesting things that aren't him, typically what we do now is not address each other anymore about it. Never do. We're never really big fighters anyway about stuff. We kind of go quiet and work through stuff. But we typically go to opposite ends of the house. So if it's her having a bad time, she'll go, you know, I'll go to some other part of the house. And I just start binding stuff up. I was like, that is not my wife, and you have no authority or right to do that in my wife. Leave. Wow. And you let somebody work through stuff instead of going, why are you so sharp? Why are you so mad? Wow, that was accusation, condemnation. But we've all done it. We go to a neutral corner, like a boxer, go to the neutral corner, you know, and give somebody a chance to process. Now, when we typically want to do that, it's when we've actually hurt and done something wrong, we all just let them process, and the Lord goes, no, go ask forgiveness. And that's another matter. And that's one of the things we worked with our daughter on. Is that you have to get used to this. But we don't want to. We, you know, I can't help it. It's, no, you can't. It's, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Not, sorry. No, you're not. You're just sorry you got caught. And it's practical.
Yeah.
This is your life. You're a student. You're facing that stuff. It doesn't matter. I mean, we pray. God has put a pile of young women around my wife and my wife. I guess because we raised a daughter. So that's what we know. This time, I'm like, holy smoke, what's going on? And you're like, it's like the Lord saying, you want people free, you want to condemn them. Because now we're in discipleship, right? Without trying to control people's lives, we're walking. In that, there is the involvement of saying, you know, there's something going on that's probably not God's best for your life. You know, and that's like, that can be, oh, really? Okay. Well, I don't agree with you. What do we do with that stuff? Are you going to throw them on the skids? Excuse my counsel, how dare you? Or are you going to walk with people until they have a revelation of that thing? Right? That's what this is. This is not a 50-yard dash. It's a marathon. It's like, pick your item at home. That's where the new man needs to live. Not when we all think, speak, and sing alike, but at home, where we live and move and have our being out there. And so when we run into the world and we run into people who have need and you're able to go, well, I'm going to pray about that. No, you are not. You get involved. You better get involved. You got the new man in you. You better get engaged in this thing as much as allowed. But that's relationships. Nobody's letting you in the areas that you really want to go with folks until you prove you love them. What is that line? Nobody cares what you know until they know you care. And that takes time. Remember last year, my wife and I walked away from business for a year. I had a one-year non-compete. So you go from working a gazillion hours a week running a business to too young to retire. What does this look like, Lord? And it's like, I don't know. Let's just get up and find out what it looks like when tomorrow is today. And one of the things we got to do was start hanging out in the streets and doing some street food outreach in the city. And I was in the yard one day, and I was like, I'm raking leaves. I'm like, Lord, how do I view this? How do I view what I'm doing? I got no guilt, so I'm not in the city trying to assuage guilt. But I know there's a load of people who have been told lies about me as much as I've been told lies about them. How do you want me to view handing out food in the city? Because they should not trust me. Based on knowledge, they should not trust me. And I'm good with it. I'm okay with that. But how do you want me to look at this? And it was like a question. It came in the question. So, Alan, if you were taking this bag of groceries from Walmart and trying to give them to the Queen of England, what would that look like? I said, I'd probably go, Your Majesty, would you please receive this bag of food? He said, that's right. That's how I want you to approach the people in the street. You're not doing them a favor. And you're not doing them from another way. You are to thank them for allowing you to do what you're doing. And what you're going to do is you're going to win them over by not doing anything but hand out a bag of groceries. Don't try to get them to join your club, come to your meetings, do anything. You love them where they are. And all that love looks like right now is a bag of food. Don't say nothing, don't do anything. But after week, after week, after week, after week, after week, somebody's going to say, this dude's serious about this stuff. He's not out here earning brownie points or something, trying to look good on for television or something else. And it did. And you get into this a month or two into it, and all of a sudden people are like, can someone here pray for me? Absolutely. Next thing you know, you're laying hands on the sick. Next thing you know, you're down there and they're inviting you to do a cookout in your neighborhood. And you're at the grill with five guys who, some of them have been in the big house. I mean, you're guys, you're like, I never saw this coming. But it changed your life. Because before, I'm around what? I'm around surgeons, I'm around PhDs, and all these folks. There's no need. Now, here's the dirty secret. All those people have all the same mess. They just dress in really good clothes, drive really good cars, and live in really big homes. But internally, it's the same as the hood. We have to see that, so we're not respecters of people. And we get to deal with folks by the one thing, love and compassion. That's what you get to do in the new man. You get to do this in the life of Jesus. And it's who you are. I mean, how many of you want to go lay hands on the sick? How many people are scared to death to go lay hands on the sick? I mean, it's okay. It's okay. So is that. And now I'll go somewhere, and it's like, once you move this way, the problem is, you see everybody's sick. You see people, you do things, and the Lord's like, would you like to get involved in that, or do you want to just come do that? It's like, oh gosh. And you can't go over there like kind of like a drive-by mugging. What, I hear you? You know? No, it's some people you're getting involved in their lives. It may lead to a trust. Other people, it's like, at first, how could they not want to be prayed for? You show you care about their life, no matter whether you think something's happened in front of you or not. You're going to be surprised. This Holy Spirit that we're all singing about and talking about, this guy who dwells within you is the only power for any of that to occur. The load is not on you. The load's on him. And you get to do that and leave it with him. It's brief, it's quick, and move on. That's just one little area. I mean, pick the thing you're after God to desire and do and know. I'm going to check my phone. Gotta stop. I see that. Sorry, I did not like me to run that long in there. So if we get now, if you go to end of Romans 8, you have what? It says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? So we're back to condemnation. There's no condemnation. There is nothing to separate you and me from the love of Christ. There is nothing. Height, depth, principality, spiritual, this, the list goes on and on. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. This is just a touch of this, but this is where I've been dwelling, and it's real to me, and it's transforming my life as it should. And hopefully the Lord will lead you somewhere and get with him and let him work that in your life, talk to you in the way that means something to you. He really wants this. So thank you guys for letting me share. It's a joy and an honor to be here. Tammy, I appreciate it. Appreciate your prayers. And just testify to God's faithfulness to our family through the years and continuing to allow us function among his people in many places now, and certainly in our own hometown. And we give him the honor and glory. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men to me. So if I haven't lifted him up, then I fail, and I will finish it by saying, I lift up Jesus. The only answer is Jesus.
Come on, man. Yeah.
And he will draw men to himself. So praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, brother. It's good. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you guys so much. It really is a blessing to have, you know, Alan and Tammy here this morning. And one of the things, as we're going to kind of close up, I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward, is that you made this statement. You said, you know, we've all done it. You know, I think we can all relate to that. Like we all haven't lived this perfect, pristine life. We've all done something. But here's the beautiful thing is, like, you don't have to continue to do it. I mean, there's power, there's life, there's freedom. And as he was talking, I feel like one of the calls this morning, and I'm just going to invite you guys up to come up too as well for pray for anyone that needs prayer this morning. But I felt like the Lord was saying this morning, there's some of you that are kind of like, there's this beautiful dynamic tension that we live in, and some of y'all are really pulled on one side. And it doesn't have to be one or the other. And that's one of the things that Alan was saying. You know, it's not just love or power, right? Like, God is calling us to live a life of both. It's not just, oh, I'm called to live freedom, 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 freedom. And over here, it's just character, discipline. It's both. God's called us to live in both places. It's not just about being. Oh, I just get to be. Yeah, there's things to do too. Like, there's this beautiful between both of them and living in discipline. So this morning, I just want to, you know, if you're in here this morning and you have not said yes to Jesus, you know, Alan lifted up Jesus this morning. There's something in your heart pulling. I just want to invite you to come forward this morning. Just to invite Jesus to come into your life. And if there's something that tugged on your heart this morning, maybe you find yourself, you're kind of on this end of that tension, and you know you're out of balance. I think that's the word. You know something in your life is out of balance. We just want to invite you to come up this morning and receive prayer this morning. And so I'm just going to pray. I'm going to ask Alan, Tammy, if you guys would come up, if you guys would be ready to pray for people. Let's just close.
And real quick, I just had a really strong word that this Alan Tammy Hill, I mean, they had the rock of rocks if they wanted to hold it in their hand, and they said they were dropping their rock. And I just felt like there was this really strong word too, is that, man, when he said that we need to drop some rocks in here, there's some people that just need to drop some rocks, like get them out of your hand. Like that's a message of hope right there. If you can get the rocks out of your hand, that's hope. Like if you can get the condemnation out of your hand, that's hope. I think I saw a picture of some rocks at your feet. You've been receiving rocks of condemnation and shame and guilt. You need to release those. And so I just wanted to just mention that as well. And so I'm just going to pray. Can we just stand to our feet? Lord, thank you for that message of hope, Lord God, because, Lord, we can't do this life without you. Lord, the light of the world. Lord, I thank you that you came to that woman, Lord, caught in darkness, and you brought her out into the light, and you gave her the light of the world. Lord, and in that light, you are able to empower her to go forth in light and not darkness anymore. To be able to sin no more is just a transference from walking in darkness to walking in your light, in fellowship, communion, just as Alan declared. And so this morning, God, I just pray if someone doesn't know you, they haven't been able to walk in communion with you, God, today is a day of salvation. Lord, maybe, Lord, we've just been holding a bunch of rocks that we need, that has been killing us. We've been actually trying to keep them in our lives just ready. And Lord, we just need to release them this morning. God, I just pray that as well. God, and maybe that dynamic tension, Lord, we just need to get back in you, in that place of being with the light of the world. And so, Lord, we just bless you this morning that we can call upon you, the light of the world, the light of the world that declares light into our into the darkness of the world, and, Lord, brings us out of it. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We bless you. And we thank you in Jesus' name, Lord. And I just bless this body to be released to your goodness, be released to that hope, Lord. And also I just declare, Lord, any condemnation, shame, guilt, Lord, just like that woman, she had to release it as well, Lord, because there was no one to condemn her, so neither do you condemn us. So, Lord, I just pray a release of that as well. And so I just want to pray that blessing on each of us in Jesus' name. Amen.